Never fails. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 8, and I'm going to attempt, and it will be an attempt, to expound one verse of Scripture to you. I was going to preach on these three verses, but I'm just going to stick in verse 28. I have some thoughts in my heart that I'd like to bring to you that I hope will help you. I know if we'll listen and God will help me to help you, we'll all get some help. If we get any help this morning, it's going to come from the God of heaven. I can tell you that. Amen. I mean any real lasting help. I certainly don't have anything to bring you that's going to help you beyond, well, maybe today. Might not even help you get through the rest of the day. But if God will get involved, we can get some help that will help us through the rest of our days and then some. And that's what we need. We need God to get involved. So I'm going to ask you just to, right now, just say, God, help this man to preach the Word of God and help me to receive it as it's preached, as the Word of God. And I just pray that God will do a work in your heart. I just want to share some things with you that God's been doing in my heart. My heart is heavy as I stand before you. It's heavy for many of you. I hurt for you. I know what some folks in this church are going through. And I know what some of the families that make up the fellowship of Fellowship Baptist Church are encountering. And my heart is heavy for you. I realize that life is not all, we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, life is not all good days. But I'm glad life is not all bad days too. I'm thankful that God knows how, as we shall see in this passage of Scripture, God knows how to take a mixture of what's good and what's not so good, and what we like, and, well, what we don't like. And God knows how to just work it together. He knows how to orchestrate it in such a way that it works out for our good and for His glory. Now, to stand before you and say that I understand all that, I can't. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. But I do believe all that the Word of God says. I believe every word of this book. This is the Word of God. And so I want to just take this verse of Scripture here in Romans 8 and verse 28. It's a very beloved verse of Scripture. It's a verse of Scripture that many, many people have clung to during, well, some very dark days in their life. And it is my purpose and my goal, it's my aim with the help of God to help you. And I know there's some folks can't even be here today because of some of the things they're going through. And I just pray as they're watching today that God will somehow, as only He can, would minister to them and reach them and help them. I'm glad God meets us at the point of our need. Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't always expect us to reach up and grab hold of Him? That He'll condescend down to our level and take hold of us. See, I'm thankful that the God that we serve is that God. Amen. I'm thankful for it. And so I want to talk to you just out of this verse of Scripture. And I want to expound some things to you. And so we'll get to that in just a moment. And then I want to give you some examples, just a couple of biblical examples of a thought that's on my heart out of this verse of Scripture. And then I want to exhort you to act upon it. So those will be three things that I trust will take place today. I don't know how much preaching I'll do. I don't know. I never know that. It's not about the method to me. It's about the message. And if God will just get involved in whatever, the best way to help you, you see. I want you to learn a truth here that I believe will help no matter what you're going through in life. And so let's look at it. So Paul is writing here, and he makes a statement here in verse number 28 of Romans chapter 8. I hope you'll look down at your Bible and really take in this truth. He said, and we know. You see that there in verse number 28? And we know. Now I want to stop right there. I'm not going to go any further for right now. I just want to hone in on that a little bit. What do you know this morning? I'm glad that Paul said we can know some things. Amen. Now, I realize the day that we live in. Okay, listen, I understand. We live in a day where, well, you really can't know, you know, anything for sure. Well, sure you can. Amen. 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 Paul said we know. Can I tell you, in the book of Romans, five times Paul said we know. Three times just right here in this chapter. We know, and we know. It's important what you know. What do you know? Amen. What do you know? See, if you don't know, when things come into your life, you're not going to know how to respond. But when we do know, there's just some things we ought to know. What do you know? And we know. What do you know? Paul says you can know some things. I pray to God that we would never, ever leave life to chance or luck, right? Or emotions. So, well, I'm just going to let my emotions drive. Going to take you to places you don't need to be. See, emotion, when things happen to us in life, emotions, really, they can hurt us more than help us. But knowledge, now listen to me, knowledge can help you when you know some things. See, when some things happen in your life, when some things happen in my life, and I know some things, despite of what it looks like, despite of what it looks like on the surface, you see what I'm saying? Despite of what it seems to be, when you know some things, when you just know that you know that you know. I know some things. Paul said, we know. Do you know? I pray that you do. What do we know, Paul? Well, Paul said, first of all, he said, before I get any further, I like what Paul did here in writing this book. Now, the Spirit of God moved on him. And as I said, three times in this chapter, he said, we know. Verse number 22, he said, we know. Then he said it again, and right here in this section of Scripture, we know. But when you get to verse number 26, he said, we don't know, right? Now look what he said in verse 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. So there's some things you can know, and then there's some things you don't know. Now I think it's just really important that we understand what's being taught here. See, the apostle is saying, That sometimes when things happen, when God is at work in our lives, we just don't know. Now I want you to see what he's saying here. He said, we don't even know how we ought to pray. You ever been there? I mean, you know you ought to pray, right? I ought to pray. And I feel like this is what I ought to pray, but then when you're praying it, you're thinking, I don't know if I ought to pray it that way or not. Because I don't see the full picture. See, God has the big picture. Isn't it amazing how that I can know what's going to be taking place, and I can, by the way, 1,000 years from now in my life. You say, you can know that? Absolutely. I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. 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 I know where I'm going to be. I know who I'm going to be with. I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. You say, you know that? Absolutely. 100% sure of it. Saved in the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, going to heaven. Amen. Amen. 1,000 years from now, I'll be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. Or in the millennial kingdom, just depending, you know. Amen. Amen. I know that. But I really don't know what tomorrow holds. That's something, isn't it? I mean, I know what's going to be taking place. I mean, the big picture, I know. I know God's at work. I know God has my best interest in mind. We can know that as the children of God, God has our best interest in mind. God's for you. God's not against you. Right here in this passage of Scripture, it says, for if God be for us, who can be against us? God's for us. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can separate us from the love of God? Brethren, God is for us. Amen. We know. But yet, in verse number 26, there's just some things we don't know. And that really puzzles us, doesn't it? I think sometimes we focus more on what we do not know than what we do know. And so Paul said in verse number 26, he said, there are some things you don't know. He said, but I want you to focus on this one thing that you do know. We know, right? He said, there's times that we don't really understand and we don't have all the minute details of what God is doing in our lives. We just don't know. We don't even know how to pray sometimes. Now, brethren, we're praying people. We're God's children. We have a high priest in heaven. There's a throne of grace that we can go boldly to and pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. But we do know some things. It's important to know what you know. I know I'm saved. I don't hope I'm saved. I don't guess I'm saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I'm saved in the grace of God. Amen. Saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Amen. I know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father praying for me. That's right. I know some things, brethren. Paul said right here in verse number 28, and we know. We know. Now, I want you to think about this. This is what I wrote down. The certainty of God's promise. There's some certainty there. Paul's not saying, well, you know, it's possible. You know, God, it could be. Maybe. No, he said, we know. We know. So before we go any further, I just want this to just saturate your mind and your heart. God has said, there's something I want you to know. It's important what you know. Some people think that it's so important that they know the stock market. Now, if you play the stock market, I'm not throwing rocks at you. I'm just saying that some people think that's the most important thing you can know. That's not the most important thing you can know. And if we're not careful, we'll fill our lives and our minds with things that we know that really at the end of the day or at the end of life, it's not important that we know those things. Paul said, I want to tell you one thing that's really, really important that we can know. He said, we know. So the certainty of God's promise, okay? The certainty of God's promise. It's really important that we know what we know. Number two, I want you to see the Creator in this promise. See, God said that we know, or Paul said we know, that there's a work going on. Look what he said in verse 28. And we know that all things work. Now, how is that? Because the God who created, and I'm in Colossians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but my mind goes here. Colossians 1, he created all things, and by him all things consist. Which means God is the force. God is behind all of these things, causing them to come about. God's at work, brethren. I've said it for years. God is a God of activity. God is at work. God is not just idly, you know, taking his hands back and saying, well, I've created you now. Now you just go on and do what you want to do or what you're going to do. That's not the way God is involved in this. God is intricately involved in our lives. God is at work. And so he said, number one, I want to give you a certain promise. We know you can be sure of this. You can be sure of what? That God is at work. That all things work. God is working these things. What's going on in your life right now? You say, well, it's not so good, preacher. Well, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you. You say, well, you know what? It seems like that one bad thing happens after another. God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't forsaken you. Paul said, I want you to know some things. I want you to know. Don't go in your feelings now. Your feelings, listen, if you let your feelings drive, they're going to take you to a place you don't need to be. Feelings is not the answer. See, a lot of times we act on how we feel instead of what we know. Somebody say amen with me. We do. And feelings is not where it's at. You say, well, I feel that God has forsaken me. Well, what do you know? I know the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, you need to let what you know trump how you feel. Amen. And Paul said, I want you to know some things. Now, listen to me. I realize, I don't know if that heat's on or if I'm just getting hot and getting worked up a little bit, but I want to tell you something. Listen, look at the person sitting next to you. If you're asleep, slap them. No, don't do that. Amen. Shake them. You might be like that fellow's at Oliver B. Green meeting one time. He said, hey, wake that fellow up. He said, you wake him up. You put him to sleep. Hey, we know. We know, brethren. We know. What do you know? I know God's at work. I know God is a God of activity. I know God hasn't left me. The apostle said right here, and we know. So we see, number one, we see the certainty of this promise. We know. And then we see the creator behind the promise. God is at work here. That's who's behind the work. The unseen hand of God is at work here. The unseen hand of God's at work in your life and my life too. Amen. Let's look at the third thing. So we know. We know that all things work together for good. Let's talk about the completeness of the promise. This is complete. All things. All things. Right? All things work together. Do you know that? You say, well, now, You saying that all things are good, preacher? I didn't say that, nor did God say that. It's obvious that there's some things that have happened in our church family that's not good. Right? I mean, there's been some people very sick, and still today are very sick. Very sick. And it's heartbreaking. It breaks my heart. It ought to break your heart to see people that you love and you care about going through difficult times. The Bible says we ought to rejoice with each other, but we ought to weep with each other too. You see, I'm excited when God is at work in your life and things are going good. That excites me as your pastor and your friend. I'm excited that God is at work in your life and things are happening and God is at work doing good in your life. But I'm also, listen, I also weep with you. It breaks my heart to see how sin and how life itself can take a toll, and sometimes it brings us down. Sometimes it gets us off the beaten path, the path that we should be on. Sometimes it reaches into our family and it calls for a loved one. Sometimes little babies get sick. Oh, my. Listen, that tugs on my heartstrings. I thought about little baby Ellie. And she had to be carried to the hospital night before last, spent Christmas in the hospital. You say, well, preacher, that's not that bad. Well, it breaks my heart. It break my heart. Listen, I thought about Jimmy and Sherry. I just thought about how that little grandbaby didn't make it. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I thought I saw Megan here this morning, but I thought about her dad. Brethren, there's just people that things are happening in their lives, and some of you, your children, they're wayward, and it breaks your heart. Some of you, you have health issues, and you're uncertain, and you're concerned. It's in times like these that we need to know some things, brethren. We need to know that God cares, and God's at work. Now, I want to make it very clear what this verse of Scripture is not saying before I get into what it is saying. It's not saying that everything that happens in your life is good. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't take, listen, I don't need to get a Greek lexicon out and break down words and talk to you. You don't need me to do that. Life itself will explain that to you. Not everything that happens in life is good. So that's not what this is saying. Read it carefully with me. It's saying that God has made a complete promise. Number one, we know. That's the certainty. You can know. Number two, that God is at work. He's the creator. He's behind it all. See, God is sovereign. Pastor David talked about Wednesday night, the providence of God. Either you believe God's in control of everything or you don't. I say God is.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, preacher, Washington's in control. Washington's not in control. Thank God for that. There ought to have been a big old amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. Washington's not in control.
Right.
The Illuminati's not in control.
Right.
Amen. The Pope's not in control. Somebody say amen with me now. Listen, this preacher's not in control. Amen. Aren't you glad I'm not in control? But God's in control.
Amen.
God's in control. And we know that all things, so we talked about the certainty of the promise. We talked about the creator. Now let's talk about the complete. All things, brethren, all things. Yes, the sickness of a little baby. You say, preacher, my mind can't wrap around that. Mine can't either. I don't understand all things, but I believe what this book teaches. You say, preacher, how could death come and take my loved one and that be part of God doing good in my life? I don't understand that, but I know this. I know that God's not the one who took it. Sin takes lives.
Right.
The wages of sin is death, you see.
Right.
And God, in His divine providence, in His all-knowing mind, in His omniscient mind, He allows the course of life, but God can take the things that happen in your life and in my life, and He can construct them and weave them together so that we could say, we know that what God is doing in our lives ultimately is going to be for our good and for His glory. If you know that, say amen.
Amen.
See, I know that.
Amen.
I just know that. I've been doing this. Listen, I've been saved for 40 years. I've been in the ministry for 35 years. I've walked with the lowly. I've walked with those that are rejoicing. I've walked with those that had their head hung low. And I've walked with those that kicked up their heels and was glorifying God. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what is going on in a person's life, when you know some things about God, you can rejoice through it all. Amen.
Amen.
You can rejoice because you just know. You say, what do you know? Well, it pays to know what you know. Some folks don't know enough about this book to rejoice. Need to know some things. See, God has given a book of knowledge. God has given a book of wisdom. And when we let this book sit to the side and we not get in this book and learn some things about Him and about His way and about life and about His involvement in our life, when we let those things sit to the side and we do not get God involved, then we miss out on some things that we could know. And when we don't know, then when some things happen in our life, our emotions take over. And when we let go of the wheel of knowledge and let emotion drive us, it takes us to a place that we need not be. Need to know some things. Know some things. We know that all things work. Not just some of them. Not just the good. Nor not just the bad. Again, I want to make it very clear. Don't leave here and say, well, the preacher said no matter what happened in my life, it was good. I'm not saying that. Nor is this book teaching that. I'm just saying. And we're going to see this here in just a moment. The Bible doesn't say that all things work for the good. I've actually had people come up to me and say, well, you know, preacher, all things work for the good. That's what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. I want you to look at this next point. The components of the promise. This is the most important part. Look, if you would, in verse 28. And we know that all things work together. See, now we can start to unlock some things. They work together for good. Not all things are good. No. But they work together for good. Amen. I looked at a word. I'm just going to read it to you, okay? It's the word that this word comes from. That this word together, work together, work together for good. It's called synergism. You ever heard of this word? I was a little surprised when I began to look up some things about this word. Synergism. It's the working together of various elements to produce an effect that's greater, often completely different from, the sum of each element working separately. In other words, you can take something that's not good, and it's not good. And then you can take something that's not good, and it's not good. And then you can take something that's good, and it's good. But when you work them together, it produces something greater than what that one good or that one bad or this one bad. It produces something greater than those individual things. And one of the examples that I ran across when I was searching out Webster's Dictionary, the 1828 and other things, is that in the natural world, it's like salt. How many of you use salt? Well, this is not a test. I mean, some people are like, I don't want to get this wrong. Well, you can't get it wrong. Amen. You either use salt or you don't. Yeah, don't be afraid if you use salt. I'm not going to check your blood pressure. Amen. Amen. Some of you look a little concerned there. How many of you use salt and you shouldn't be? All right. Salt. Salt's made up of two very harmful chemicals. Sodium. Chloride. Is that right? Yeah. So if you take them in themselves, now I'm trying to explain what worked together for the good. If you take them themselves, it's not going to work out good for you. I used to work in pesticides, and I understand this very well, okay? Because in themselves, sometimes you can take products that are not good, but when you mix them together, when you synergize, when you get synergism involved, then that there's somehow that negative charge, which, by the way, in salt, there's a negative and a positive charge, and when they come together, it works together and brings forth some good. You like salt?
Amen.
Amen. You think salt's good?
Amen.
Amen. So I don't salt my food. All food has salt, just about. But it doesn't have just sodium or doesn't have just chloride, when you bring them together, then it's good. You understand what God is saying here? God is saying you can't just take one facet or one aspect of your life and say, well, you know, my life's terrible and God has forsaken me and this is awful. Well, that phase of it, that part of it may be, but wait a minute, God is not through yet. You see, God is not through yet. Let God continue to work. Don't give up on God right there in that time. And see, when we know, isn't that what he said? We know. When we know this, well, it helps us to allow God to take us through the process and to teach us what he has in store for us. Do you believe God is on your side? Look at it. You're in Romans 8, right? Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What things? That all things work together for the good. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? What's Paul saying? He's saying, hey, brethren, listen. He said, though there's some things that, some not so good things, and even, yea, some bad things that have happened in your life, God is not against you. God is for you. Amen. And he's working all things together. He's stirring all these things together. It's kind of like a cake. Boy, we had some good cake yesterday, I tell you right now. Red velvet cake, one of my favorite. Say, I hate red velvet cake. Well, if you had it in your house left over, bring it to me. Amen, I'll eat it. Red velvet cake. But you know, I've never, and maybe it's good, I don't know. I just couldn't say, you take that baking powder and just reach in there with a big old tablespoon of it and eat baking powder. I don't know, that stuff doesn't taste good to me. Just baking powder. But you know, when you take some of the ingredients that go into some of these good cakes, I would never just drink Red Dye 40. So I think I'm gonna drink some of that Red Dye. Well, I wouldn't recommend that, but if you insist on it. But when you put all these things together, see, it's like God just stirring the mix and look what come out. Man, that stuff was good. See, God can do that, brethren. I realize that's a small example compared to some of the things we go on in our lives. That we have going on in our lives. I get that. But God's way is higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God said, I just want you to know something. I'm for you. Amen. God's not out to get you. Say amen with me. Amen. God's not out to make your life miserable. God's not out to do that. God wants to bless you. Now listen, some people God can't bless because they won't get in a position so he can bless them. Amen. Amen. Let God bless you. So we know, all right? We know the certainty of this promise. We know. I'm so glad for that. Brethren, there's just some things I know. And I got it from this book right here. I'm glad I know some things. We know that all things work. I'm glad God is at work. God is not just up in heaven just sitting back in a big, you know, easy chair saying, have at it, children. You know, do what you want and I'll come and sweep up the mess when it's all done. I'm glad God is at work in your life, in my life, in our life. Amen. And he's at work. All things, the completeness of the promise, and then the components of the promise work together. I'm glad that God's working it out. All things work together. See, there's some pieces in this that you don't see. And there's some pieces that I don't see. We just don't see it. And as I said, not only do we not see it, we don't even know how to pray for it sometimes. But God knows. See, God knows what you need. And God knows what I need. And God knows the things that take place in our life. They could be bad. But God knows how to take that bad and to mix it in with some things to work together for the good. Now, only God can do that. So I'm not talking about karma now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not talking about karma. That's not even spiritual. Well, it is, but it's of the devil. Yeah, look it up. Amen. So we're not talking about karma. We're talking about sovereignty, providence, the Almighty God of heaven involved in every aspect and area of our lives. Before I get down to the final thought, I want to remind you that when I read this verse of Scripture, there's just no uncertainty here. Look at it again. Verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good, but it's not for everybody. See, there may be somebody sitting here and saying, man, I'm glad the preacher talked about that. I need that. Amen. You sure? You sure this is going to apply to you? Let's see. Verse number 28 says this. It says, to them that love God. You love God? See, I can't tell if you love God or not. That's something between you and God. Now, I do know the Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Amen. Amen. Do you love God? Do you love him? You say, well, he loves me. Aren't you glad for that? But that's not the question. The question is, do you love God? Do I love God? Do you love God? You can go through the Bible, and I'm not going to do it, but I would challenge you to do it. You can go through the Bible, and time and time and time again, God talked about those that love him. Those that love him. The one verse of Scripture that sticks out to me is in 1 Corinthians 2, in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that what? Love him. Do you love God? Do you love God? You say, well, I'm very fond of him. That's not the question. I believe in him. Well, that's not the question. Do you love him? Do you love God? Because that's who this is going to work for. Look again what the Scripture says. This is what the Scripture says, brethren. This is not about Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, Lutheran. Hear me now. This is not about that. This is not about denomination. This is about pure, unadulterated truth. What saith the Scriptures? And the Scripture says that we can know what? That all things work together for good. Together for good. To them. Okay, so here's the group of people it's going to work for that love God. You love God? Well, you're on the list. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. To them that love God. And then look at the rest of it. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Someone has said this is the backside of the same coin. Right? You love God because you were the called according to his purpose. That's right. Amen. Yeah. Listen, you didn't go searching God down. God called you. Say amen with me, folks. Listen, you say, I sure am glad I found God. You didn't find God. God found you. And he called you to repentance. And when you responded to the word and repented, now you love him. You can't be saved and not love God. There's absolutely no way. There is no way you can know Jesus in the free pardon of sin and not love God. Amen. And so if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then God knows how to make all things work together for the good. Now, if you don't, I can assure you that he's calling you. God's calling. See, God calls sinners to repentance. If he's calling you today, whether you're in this building or you're watching by live stream, if the Spirit of God's calling you to be saved, I pray you'd be saved today. I pray that you would. You can be, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we have, number one, we have the certainty of the promise. Number two, the creator of the promise. Number three, the completeness of the promise. All things. Then there's the components. It's all things. Listen, they work together for the good. Whether they're good or bad, whether you like them or not, whether you're pleased with them or not, God knows how to take these things and work them out for our good. But then there's the condition. And that is, you must love God and be the called according to his purpose. You must be born again for this to be at work in your life. Because when you get saved, when you read the rest of this, you'll find that God saved you to conform you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why every person gets saved. So I thought I got saved to go to heaven, preacher. Well, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But that's not the sole purpose that God saved you. God saved you to give you purpose in this life. You have any purpose in life? I pray that you do. And then God saved you to conform you and to conform me into the image of his Son. Read the Scripture. It's right here. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's right. Let me give you an example, and then we'll stand to our feet. The greatest example in all the scripture of this is Jesus. He's the greatest example. He came, he lived, he came to do good. He went about doing good. He was falsely accused, falsely arrested, beaten, bludgeoned, battered, bruised, wounded, hung on a cross to die for our sin. You're talking about injustice. Today we hear a lot about injustice. That is injustice. Jesus was done terribly. What was his accusation? He just wanted to do good. He was trying to help people, healing people, teaching the word of God. But you know, God took that injustice and he turned it around and brought forth one. Listen, the greatest thing that's happened to mankind, we now have a way to get to heaven. Do you realize that had that injustice not been done, we would not have a way to get to heaven? Oh, they thought they were doing it, but God was working it out, wasn't he? You read the book of Acts. They thought, look what we've done. He said, yeah, you did it, but God allowed it. You crucified the Prince of Glory, but God allowed it. I want to ask you to stand as you say, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus, preacher. What about me? What about what I'm going through? How many of you have read the book of Job? Raise your hand. Say, I've read the book of Job. Okay. Well, then you know. In one day, had all of his cattle, right? All of his cattle stolen, his sheep, right? Burned. Fire from heaven came. all of his help killed. And one man would come to him and say, you know, the Sabaeans have come and they took your cattle and your asses and they killed all your hired servants and only I am left to report this. And while he was yet speaking, someone else came. And while he was yet speaking, you know, a great wind came and your family was together having a feast and they were celebrating and the building fell and it killed all your children. In one day, lost everything he had. One day. What did Job say? Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know why? Job knew some things. Amen. His body was stricken with boils. The Bible says from the crown of his head, or actually from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And his wife said, you ought to curse God and die. His three friends said, well, you're just getting what you deserve. You know what Job said? He said, though he try me as gold, he said, when I come through, he said, I will be pure as gold tried in the fire. He said, I can't bless God for what he's given and then curse him for what he takes. Isn't that something? Because Job knew some things, brethren. He knew some things. What did God do for Job? You know the way the story ends, don't you? You think God's a respecter of persons? You think God would restore to Job twofold and leave you hung out to dry? We could go on and on and on. Joseph. Just read the book. You ought to know some things. So you might be in prison right now thinking, why in the world am I here like Joseph was? But you know what happened after 2 years? By some odd coincidence, Brother John, the Pharaoh said, I'm having a dream. I need this thing to interpret. Anybody know an interpreter? They brought Joseph up. You know what happened? Amen. You know what Joseph said at the end of it all? I mean, this man was, you know what Joseph went through. Now, listen, we get to look back on it. Joseph wasn't getting to look back on it. This was happening to him in real lifetime. He said, you meant it for evil, But God meant it for good. Because God knows how to take, now Joseph didn't say this, but this book does. God knows how to take all things and work them together for good. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm going to ask the pianist to play. I don't know what's going on.